Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail is one of the most important documents from the civil rights era. Nearly lost to history are the 8 clergymen in Alabama to whom King addressed his letter in 1963. No one among them was fully comfortable with either the segregationists or the integrationists. Rabbi Milton Grafman of the Temple Emmanuel in Birmingham, Alabama, was one of the 8. Several months after King wrote his letter, Grafman tried to explain his own position during a sermon.
I want justice and I want equality for the Negro. But I also want fairness and equality and decency for the white man.
In a new book, Blessed Are the Peacemakers, Jonathan Bass examines King's motive behind the letter and the reaction of the 8 ministers.
In April of 1963, when Martin Luther King came to town and began demonstrations, they also felt like this was upsetting the concept of law and order, and they spoke out against Martin Luther King, saying we need to wait for court decisions to come down and to see if change can be brought about without demonstrations in the streets. They issued their statement very early on, only a few days into the civil rights campaign in Birmingham. They are joining a host of other critics, including the Kennedy administration, the Washington Post, Time magazine, mainstream media, mainstream thinkers. So I don't think that they're particularly out of the mainstream in criticizing King in April of 1963.
King and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference saw the letter as an opportunity.
It was a golden opportunity for them for publicity, and that is what originally the letter was intended for. It was produced substantially for the consumption in the media, and that was their original purpose with it. None of the 8 white ministers ever received a copy of the letter from Birmingham jail. It wasn't meant to go to them. It was meant to go to the media and go to the American public at large as an open letter explaining King's reasoning, justification for being in Birmingham and doing what he was doing.
The letter had enormous impact, King's letter, that is. It's been anthologized. It's been set to music, ballet, even opera. Why was it so explosive? Why did it have the impact it did?
I think for a variety of reasons. I think one of the most important reasons is the psychological timing of its release. It is released after the Birmingham movement is essentially over. So fresh in everyone's mind are the usual images of Birmingham, police dogs and fire hoses. And what the letter does is it serves as a symbolic finale to the movement in Birmingham. And people that had seen those visual images now had something very substantial, incredibly moving, that they could read and get inside the mind of Martin Luther King and have a greater understanding of the movement and the injustices of segregation.
What effect did this letter have on the 8 ministers who were ostensibly addressed by the letter?
Some of the white ministers just simply dismissed it. One minister, a Southern Baptist minister in Birmingham, told me later that he had no substantial reaction to the letter from Birmingham jail, mainly because he was under so much pressure from segregationists within his own congregation that he was having a very hard time holding his ministry together. Other of the ministers were embittered by Martin Luther King's letter. They felt like King had done them a disservice and injustice and had misrepresented their views. They felt like Martin Luther King had created straw men out of them, that they were just caricatures, and that he had used them as a national springboard for criticism of the white community as a whole, and they felt like that was unfair and unjust. At least one of the white ministers was greatly impacted by the letter from Birmingham jail, Joseph Durick, and he said that King's words truly touched him and that he made a commitment to ending racial injustices, and his work in Tennessee bears that out because he becomes a liberal activist and a supporter of Martin Luther King.
These men were gradualists, and yet perhaps some believe they must have been bigots, 8 bigots.
I have found that they have been described as bigots, Pharisees, racists, but also, and conservatives. They've also been described as liberals, moderates, gradualists. I found it absolutely remarkable that these eight white ministers, which represented a variety of different denominations and faiths, got together. They all considered themselves gradualists, but all of them had a different idea of, or different definition of what that term meant.
Didn't a couple of them lose their pulpits over admitting blacks to worship at the church?
Correct. Martin Luther King goes to jail on Good Friday, April 12th, 1963. The following Sunday, obviously, is Easter Sunday. And the Southern Christian Leadership Conference had targeted for what was called at the time kneel-ins. And what it was is they would send a group of African-Americans out to worship at all-white churches. Several of the churches, white churches in Birmingham, turned blacks away. But two of the churches both admitted the black visitors, and it caused a great deal of disharmony among a very vocal minority of segregationists within the church. At least 70 white segregationists stood up and marched out.
It only got worse in Alabama. The explosion at the church, the bombing, Selma, things just kept getting worse in Alabama, and I guess the ministers looked bad as a result of all that followed.
I was intrigued to find that a lot of these ministers made very bold stands, very bold statements from their pulpit. Rabbi Milton Grafman stood in the pulpit at Temple Emmanuel immediately following the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church and poured out his heart to his congregation in a Rosh Hashanah sermon.
What I'm trying to say this morning is this, and to those of you who are liberals, I want to say that I am opposed to whipping up hatred against the Negro. But for people who are for the Negro, they must stop whipping up hatred against white people and against those of us who are trying to help.
And Earl Stallings as well found a remarkable sermon that this Southern Baptist minister preached from his pulpit at First Baptist Church of Birmingham just, I believe, the Sunday following the end of the organized street demonstrations in Birmingham, so the middle of May 1963, entitled Pilate's Washbowl, where he stood in the pulpit and told his congregation that you're no better than Pontius Pilate because you have washed your hands of any personal responsibility for racial injustice in the South.
Jonathan Bass is a professor at Samford University in Alabama and author of the new book, Blessed Are the Peacemakers.